Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're on ESPNU. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Nick Friedel's sticking with us, hanging out with us to talk Kyrie. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, joins the party. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Bobby?
So we've been chopping it up about Kyrie all morning. Give us your reaction to everything, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction was that it's probably the best package that Brooklyn could have gotten when you look at an unprotected first and 2 seconds and two players that, you know, are under contract and can probably help you right now. And I think they're not done. I don't think the Nets are done at all this week. You know, now they've got 3 picks. They can flip Dorian Finney-Smith if they have to, and keep on building this roster. And I guess for Dallas's perspective, you know, it's a risk, but I think it's a risk that's worth it considering how open the Western Conference is. And if there's no contract for Irving after the season, they kind of wipe the slate clean and they can build the roster around Luka with you know, some flexibility.
Bobby, you've done a lot of contracts in your career. You didn't do a contract for me, but that's a story for another day. We'll talk about that.
I did. It was a training camp minimum contract.
Played with Savage Line. I'm curious, you know, when you hear from sources about this extension that the Nets offered Kyrie, 3 years, you know, with the stipulation that, you know, for him to get a part of his money winning an NBA championship was in there. Is that unprecedented? Have you ever heard of a contract stipulated upon winning a championship for your guaranteed money?
Yeah, there's a couple players. Remember, there's, 440 players. I would say probably 5 have that type of stipulation. I think Al Horford had it, Davis Bertans. You know, there's a few others, but probably there's nobody at, you know, at Kyrie's level, right? And all you never see it with an all-star level player here. So it's a unique way to structure it. I mean, I think you could have probably done, you know, games played instead of reduced it, you know, replace it with an all-star, you know, if the, you know, last year. Eric Gordon has it also, you know, in that last year. So I thought that if you were going to do, and I said this in the offseason before everything happened, that if you were going to do an extension with Irving, it was going to be tied with where Durant was. You know, Kevin's got 3 years left. So if you were going to do another number with, you know, 3 years, $120 million, where it tied in there. And I think it does get a little bit messy, Jay, when you start putting added clauses in on the back end.
See, Nick, that goes back to our conversation before. You know, even the game's minimum played, when those stipulations are in your contract and you're looking at the roster and you're saying, all right, 2 years in a row now, Kevin Durant has been hurt. Ben Simmons, I don't know what he's given me. So now if you're Kyrie, if I'm playing 38, 39 minutes per night at an all-star level, you know, it increases my probability of being injured, which if I don't hit a minimum of games and I don't get paid, why would I want to sign that anyway? Especially when you have questions looming around Sean Marks bringing over Ben Simmons to this team.
We need to get his mic up. We need to get his mic up.
You want to lead into that? Lean into that mic.
Still need to get his mic up. Ben Simmons.
There you go.
There you go. Now say it.
What do they do now with Ben Simmons?
There you go.
What do they do?
The best pipes in the business. Don't hide them. Lean into that mic.
What? That's the question, Jay. And it ties into everything. It ties into why Kyrie did what he did now. It ties into Kevin Durant's future. And it ties into Sean Marks and the decisions that he's going to have to make. Bobby, if you're the Nets, how do you make Ben Simmons' contract turn into a piece that Kevin Durant would want to play with moving forward?
Well, I don't think it's not right now, Nick. I mean, I don't think Ben Simmons has any value. I mean, he can't stay on the court, and I think he has the one word that is the worst word in the NBA: unreliable. Mm. You can't trust him, and he's unreliable here. And for him to get value back, he's got to be on the court. And, Nick, you watch this roster here. Are you comfortable saying that he's going to be a guy in the fourth quarter? You know, I don't think you can play him when you're down. I just, from an offensive standpoint, I don't think he could be on the court when you're down 5 or 6 points in the fourth quarter here. And I think that's going to be an issue that Brooklyn's going to have to address. And but, yeah, I mean, he'll have 2 years left after this contract. But right now there's no value for there's no value for Ben Simmons.
See, Keith, that's what I'm saying. So if you're Kevin Durant now, you just heard Bobby Marks saying that there's no value for Ben Simmons. You're on a team that originally had James Harden and Kyrie. Now you're looking at Spencer Dinwiddie, Ben Simmons, and picks. And you're realistically saying, okay, Sean, you've been to yes, there have been times that we said this is what we like to do. But at the end of the day, we can't do anything unless you sign off on it. So if you're the one orchestrating everything, are you going to entrust the last 3 years of your career with Sean Marks? Exactly,
no.
Key. Why would you?
No, I'm not. And I would go – I would take a different approach than I did – last summer, this time around, most likely, I mean, I could go to them before the Thursday and have a conversation with them about moving me quietly, but it really doesn't matter. Whether I go loud or quietly, the organization is going to blame me anyway. That's what front office people typically do when the relationship is not at the level that you thought it was going to be. So if I'm him, I look at Phoenix and I say to myself, hey, man, won't y'all think about moving me out to Phoenix and going getting something for me? They want to do a deal. Let's do a deal with Phoenix so I can go. Because as Bobby just said, you can't get nothing for Simmons. So I'm waiting around for you to build this thing next summer. I'm going to waste a whole nother year messing around with y'all. No, I'm good.
Nick, what would you do?
If I'm Kevin, I'm out of here. If you want to win a championship at this stage of your career, he's going to be 35 in September. You've got to find a way to leave, because Bobby just hit the nail on the head. We could go through every move possible that the Nets could make. Ben Simmons has no value. So you tell me how anything can happen to a point where you feel comfortable that not only can you continue to move forward with Brooklyn, but you have enough to get past Boston and Milwaukee.
Well, Nick, I would say that, you know, regarding Durant, I think if whatever decision he makes, it's not going to be in the next 3 days here.
Right.
I think this is an off-season decision. However, I think the next 3 days are going to be a telling point of what the future for Kevin Durant's going to be. As far as what Brooklyn can do, can you move 3 first-round picks in a player like Joe Harris, for example, and what does that get you back? I think that's the priority. But here's the other thing. Like, if you do something like that, that still doesn't guarantee you that Durant's going to sign off when we get into the off-season.
So why you say it can't happen in 3 days? It's just that he just wouldn't want to move into the summer, or they wouldn't want to do anything?
I understand that.
I'm saying he couldn't go to them before Thursday and say, yo, I don't want to go into the summer with this?
Oh, he could, and I don't think Brooklyn has to do anything about it. I mean, he could go today or tomorrow and say, I want out, and I don't think that all of a sudden – I mean, we saw this offseason – you know, they'll play the slow game here, and they'll wait into the offseason, and they'll wait till one of these teams who get eliminated in the playoffs, who think they're a Kevin Durant player away. And if it's not Mikal Bridges that Phoenix would offer right now, it might be in the offseason, and it might be DeAndre Ayton in the offseason. And, you know, the list of players just keeps on growing here. I think the value of what you can get back for Kevin Durant right now is probably not the value of what you can get back in June.
Okay.
The value for Kevin Durant is – what are we talking about, 3-4 first-round picks?
Especially after what he's done this season. Because remember, back in the summer, it was kind of like, do you want to commit to Kevin? Can he still play at this level? Prior to this knee injury, to me, he was the MVP of the league. So he has proven he is still at the top of the top as far as stars in the league
right?
goes.
I agree. Listen, I started watching basketball more heavily during the Christmas break, right? Because the NFL eased up a little bit, and I could – And watching KD, he seemed to finally be the same guy he was before the original injury, which was he had reached new levels
numbers,
with the defense and everything.
His numbers were better.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy. They were better and he was more efficient.
But as a defender, as a passer, as everything, he was like, it was bananas. Do you agree he's all the way back now when he's healthy?
I think he's beyond the way back. I mean,
he's better than ever?
But I will say this, though, Nick. I mean, and Bobby, 2 injuries in 2 years now. You start like, okay, like how long does it take him to come back? He's gotten back, but that is a part of the history. But I still think it demands incredible assets on the market.
Bobby, why do you think there would be more value in June or later in the summer once the conversation's picked up again than there would be over the next few days?
I think desperation. You know, desperation breeds in the offseason. As I said, once you lose in the playoffs, if it's one of these teams out in the Western Conference, I think – he's out right now. I think the reason why Kyrie got so much, you know, Brooklyn got, you know, an unprotected first and 2 seconds and, you know, other players here, why there was more value with Kyrie now than back in June was that he was healthy and he was playing. And he was playing at an all-star level. We haven't seen Kevin Durant in a month, right? And I think if Kevin Durant was playing right now, then maybe you can make that argument that you can flip him for 3-1s or 4-1s or whatever the thing is. But I think in the offseason, I do think it's a little bit more. I do think, you know, he'll have value no matter what, but I do think in the offseason it probably increases more.
Now that Kyrie has moved to Dallas and not L.A., what does this do for the Lakers both now and in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so if you're the Lakers, I mean, Rob, you know, Pelinka's been on the record, right? The two first really don't, you know, get out of their draft asset pool of things unless you can get a game changer here. And I don't see a game changer out there right now. I mean, you might look at this as probably the status quo. I mean, you still have that Patrick Beverley contract if you want to flip or you keep. I think the interesting thing is, you know, when they made the Rui Hachimura trade and Rob was very outfrank saying, you know, we're going to re-sign him, then all signs pointed to that the Lakers were going to be active at the trade deadline, going after players that were under contract for next season or had bird rights, which you can re-sign here because, you know, they only have $15 or $16 million if the goal is to keep Rui here. So is that something that we're going to see in the next, you know, in the next 3 days here? Now we get into the offseason, and I've heard you guys talking about the Lakers and Kyrie. You know, I think it's a matter of what Kyrie's number would be. You know, hey, if he's willing to go there for $30 or $31 million, then yeah, he can go there and sign a, you know, whatever 2 or 3 year, or, you know, I don't think they'll give him a 4 year contract, but that comes at the expense of a guy like Hachimura who you just traded for. So there's a lot of different variables here, but I think the Lakers will certainly be active in the next 3 days because I don't think you can rely just on cap space when we get into this offseason.
Bobby Marks, thank you very much as always. Nick Friedel, we got a free segment of Friedel here today. Look at this, unbelievable. Bonus segment. All right, guys, thanks a million.
Thanks, guys.
What is
thanks, guys.
Next thanks for Kevin Durant, 888-SAY-ESPN, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The divorce papers have been filed. Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving. For all the drama he causes, he is an incredible player.
I think that the Mavs have put themselves in a position to be potentially the front runner in the Western Conference.
When you get into business with Kyrie, you also have to accept that at some point, things are going to break down.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What is next for Kevin Durant? Does he stick in Brooklyn? Does he go somewhere like Phoenix, as Key suggested? Does he go back to the Warriors, where life on the basketball court was easy? What does he do? Does he try to prove the naysayers wrong? Does he make himself happier? Is that the same thing or a different thing?
Make himself happier.
What's next from John in Michigan? You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hey, guys. Been a longtime fan of the show, and just want to say I love it. And I just had a couple questions about, you know, the situation with Kyrie in Dallas now. You know, it doesn't seem like any of the situations Kyrie's been in before, late in Cleveland, then Brooklyn. First he wanted James Harden. James Harden was gone. The problem was still there. If this doesn't work with Luka, if they crash and burn, are people going to point the finger at Jason Kidd and Luka?
No, I don't think so. This is you got to think about where we are. We're about to hit All-Star break, okay? And then you have March, April, May, June. Like, you're in the playoffs. Things are kicking off. So I think, if anything, if you are the Dallas Mavericks, you're saying, oh, this is a four-month shot. We're giving, like, a 4 or 5 month shot. Let's see if we win it. If not, like, you know, we can try to lure him into a long-term deal. If things go right, if they don't, then we're still starting clean. I still think Jason Kidd and Luka walk away clean if this thing blows up.
I don't know about that. I'll tell you this.
I disagree.
In the big
picture.
Yeah,
they'll walk away clean because it's not on them. They're trying to make a run over the last 4 months of the season and see where they're at. And even what Bobby and Nick was saying just now is that those picks, they'll just hit the reset button and it's over with. They're wasting the picks.
In the big picture, yes, Kyrie is, oh, look, it didn't work here, it didn't work there, but that's already the story. He's already won a championship. He's already been very clutch, and he's already not won in a bunch of places, mm-hmm. right? But for Dallas, which for whatever reason is not a magnet franchise and city in the NBA, maybe it's partly because the Cowboys' presence in the market, whatever, but it's not in the NBA. For markets like that who have a singular star like Luka, when you have a chance to grab someone else who's up there in terms of talent, you must take that chance. That's what they just did. And if it doesn't work, then Mark Cuban risks losing Luka. And Luka...
No, you're not going to lose it, Luka.
He just signed Luka to a long-term deal.
But in the long run, you got to try to show him that you can get him help to put him over the top. And Luka, in the meantime, becomes a guy where it's like, okay, so what do you need? You know, you just got another guy like you. It didn't work. Like, I think there's more pressure on Cuban and Luka than Kyrie right now on
but
the rental.
But in the NBA, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Jay, it takes three. Two and a half at least.
Yeah.
To get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And until they can get that other half, I mean, Kyrie is special. Luka obviously is special. But they need another half, and they need somebody to play defense.
I'll tell you what the interesting part, Max, about what you said, even though I do believe that Jason Kidd and Luka will have a clean slate, the media might try to apply pressure that they couldn't get it done. But 4 months, man, like that's a lot to ask us and just hit the ground running and hit your stride, win a championship for a guy who I know the truth, but is labeled as, well, he's always been a problem. Like, you can always use that as a scapegoat if it doesn't work.
I don't mean they have to win a championship in the next 4 months.
I mean
they have to show you something that says, oh, wait a minute.
But here's going to be the challenge with Luka. Like, and here's why Luka's so different than LeBron James. Yo, LeBron gives the ball up early.
Yes.
Like in the NBA, you call that a hockey assist, right? Like, guys around LeBron, like, yo, kick up, go. Luka pounds the ball a ton, right? So a lot of guys, what you hear in NBA circles from guys complaining about Luka's, yo, I'm tired of getting the ball with 4 or 5 seconds left on the shot clock, right? Like, I want to get the ball early and play. So this will push Jason Kidd to say, Luka, you got to start giving the ball up early.
Wait, Jay, this
get
is,
those hockey assists.
Let's go backwards for a second. This is what I said earlier in the show when you were comparing him to LeBron. In fact, Luka is most like, in many ways, Harden.
Old school Harden. But the thing
I give Harden credit for is when he was on the same team as Kyrie, and Kyrie gave him the ball, said, here, you be the point guard. That stuff calmed down for Harden. He became a true point guard, right? That's why I think there's even more pressure on Luka. Hold on, Luka. Harden did it. Harden was able to change his game, and whatever the ultimate result was, you saw when he and Kyrie were playing and Harden was playing like that, that was tough. Can Luka do the same thing?
Well, we're going to find out, but I'm trying to tell you that the pressure story will never mount because there's already built-in excuses on why it won't work.
Michael in New York, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Da, 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 da.
Michael.
Michael?
That's part
Mike.
Of our callers. Are
Come on, Mike.
Ready to go.
There he is.
Hello?
What's up, Mike? We got you.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I've been listening for a long time. I want to go way back. The Nets have been a dysfunctional organization going back to when they didn't sign Martin, and they got an owner who was more interested in real estate than running a team. Then you made the Ray Charles move with the two Boston Celtics players, Garnett and Pierce. I don't know what idiot would have made that move. But then you finally got it together with Sean Marks and Kenny Anderson. You made the trade of the year with Russell, who you turned into a star. You brought in Dinwiddie. You drafted LeVert. You had two young centers in Allen and in Claxton. And then you brought in the circus. Durant, Irving, and DeAndre Jordan, which I don't know why you brought him in, because you already had two young centers. So if I was to blame anyone, I would get rid of Marks, and Joe Tye needs to sell the team because he doesn't know anything about basketball. You had a team that went from 9 wins to 43 wins in 5 years. You had a system. You made the playoffs twice. Why didn't you trust that system? Why did you panic? And then with James Harding, I know you guys on the panel heard that Harding wanted to go back to where he had that same GM in Philadelphia. That's why he didn't sign an extension. So now Harding had to create a BS reason why he didn't want to be on the Nets. The Nets were set up. And these two people, Marks needs to go. And Ty needs to get off this team because he brought these people in here. And he didn't know anything. Why do you bring Harding in? When See, you knew Harding wasn't going to stay.
I'm just going to say something, make some points you agree with here, Jay. No. Michael's calling it out. So I just go back to Key when Kevin Durant this past summer said, here's my ultimatum, Josiah. Do you remember that? My ultimatum I will come back if Steve Nash and Sean Marks are no longer here. What insight did that give to the world about how KD feels about Sean Marks and his ability as a GM? Says a lot, man.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right?
One of them is gone, right, Jay? But the other one is still there making moves.
So what is next for KD? 888-SAY-ESPN. And everyone is blaming Kyrie, or many people are, for the way things ended. But how much blame should the
Jay?
Nets organization get?
It's your friend, pal.
ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I don't see how you don't look at this situation as anything other than a failure. I don't know how you don't if you're the Nets. If you're looking at them, you got James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and KD on the same team together.
Bye.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So much blame going Kyrie's way for the way things ended with the Nets, but how much blame should the organization get? Tellingly, Jay, when I asked you that question, look at the talent between KD, Harden, and Kyrie. And then you look at Harden turning into Simmons and what Simmons is doing with the Nets, what Harden's doing with the Sixers. And then you see Kyrie gone and the whole thing. It makes you wonder, wait, who deserves who should we be looking at here? Should we be more, should we be looking at Joe Tsai? Should we be looking at KD? Should we be looking at Kyrie, who many people are? And you said, what about Sean Marks?
I mean, did Kyrie Irving sign himself? I mean, look, the reality of this whole thing is you have to manage personalities.
Absolutely.
Key, you and I talk about all the time. We've been on teams where you got some guys that don't care. You got guys that care too much. You got some guys that want to – it's the job of the GM to manage the personalities. So when KD was coming, right, you knew that was a package deal. You knew you were incurring one for the other. Adding James Harden to the table, you got to manage those personalities. You got to be willing to say things to people's faces to get them to be on the same page. And that goes back to my bigger conversation. It's like that's where KD, if KD has said, hey, look, I'm entrusting you to help me manage all this, then at the end of the day, like people can blame Kyrie Irving all they want. People can blame James Harden all they want. People can blame Steve Nash all they want. People can blame Kevin Durant all they want. Who put all these people together?
But we can still blame Kyrie, right? You said we can blame Kyrie all we want?
Yeah, but I'm saying,
okay,
like, it's funny. Like, the narrative has became that, like, he is the killer. Like, he's the one that gets demonized. He's a bad person. I told he, you can't trust him.
Yes,
idiotic,
Kyrie,
all these words around
Kyrie
him.
Kyrie often gets, whatever you want to say about his, because you have, it is perfectly legitimate to criticize Kyrie professionally. Hey, you're not there a lot of time. One time it's family stuff. One time it's social issues. One time it's pandemic. One time it's injury. But all we know is we look around, you're not there a lot of the time.
But all those things
wait a minute,
are real, though.
I get it. But that's still legitimate professional criticism. That is very different from personal moral criticism, right? And one bleeds into the other oftentimes with Kyrie, probably unfairly.
Well, yeah, because people they're the ones who's putting the blood in there. He's not. I mean, obviously, look, there's – Kyrie has done some things that rub people the wrong way. And you can't separate the two because – the basketball side, they need him on the floor. They need him on the court to be able to win games. But at the same time, he also has an obligation to do what he wants to do and how he feels, because sometimes from a mental standpoint, that is the way he gets away. When he's looking at people being gunned down in the streets, that people of color, it affects him the way he sees things. And then when you look at it from the vaccination standpoint, I mean, you can't force a dude to put nothing in his arm. You and I and Jay, mate, we feel different about our bodies beliefs.
And he handled it. He handled it straight up and down.
Deal.
He didn't hide. He handled
And a lot of people look at it and they go, well, what about what happened in Cleveland? There was no pandemic. No, it wasn't. But he also had an issue with LeBron James. So he made the decision at that time. LeBron left. I want to leave.
Fair enough, Key. You're giving explanations. Nevertheless, the big picture is he is frequently not available. And what I'm saying is professional criticism is perfectly legitimate along
yes.
those lines. What you guys are making a bright delineation is saying, wait a minute, let's draw this line here. That's professional criticism. You keep it over there. But it becomes like personal attacks on Kyrie's character, which you want to say, wait a minute, those are two separate things. Roland in Arkansas. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
What's up, guys? Listen, y'all are way underplaying this. You take this from a blue-collar point of view. Well, you got somebody that walks in for an interview, and you ask them, hey, why'd you quit your last job? Oh, well, management. Oh, why'd you quit the job before that? Oh, well, I didn't get along with this person. Hey, why did you quit the job before that? Oh, I had some personal issues. You're not going to hire that person. So
but
you
Roland,
said then you want to blame the
Roland,
GM, but he
Roland,
has to look at himself.
Roland,
this is not a
blue-collar situation. Sorry, man. I'm just going to keep it 100 with you.
Roland,
this
I'm
is not, professional sports,
that's,
man.
That's important that you Roland. Said that, Key, because the fact is, real quick, Jay, blue-collar, I get it. Kyrie Irving is in the most competitive, you could argue, the most competitive field on the planet Earth. 7 billion people, everyone's trying to be it. Everyone who can play in the NBA, it's barely an exaggeration to say, is playing in the NBA. He's not 6.5 or 7 feet tall. The odds against someone playing at his height are millions and millions and millions to one. And yet he's one of the – maybe the most skillful player ever. So he gets treated not like an unskilled worker or a semi-skilled worker or – you know, he gets treated like one of the elite in the most competitive profession in the world. That is true.
But see, like, this is – I think this is the point that's really worth kind of digging into for a second, Key.
Mm-hmm.
Look, my first 3-4 years at ESPN, like I was making $35,000 a year, right? I was traveling around everywhere doing ESPNU games on Sunday. I was working 6 out of 7 days a week.
You got you up to like 50, 60
I get the grind of like everyday people and like the labor that goes into that, right? So you see this and it doesn't make sense to you because the money is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, and you have certain people on air that create these narratives like, oh, it doesn't like to work. And like, people are like, well, wait a second. But the reality is if you're getting paid $35, $40 million a year, you're looking at situations completely different. You don't have
way
to do
different.
Things the way normal people do things. And you can pull and leverage certain levers that normal people can't
yeah,
do.
He didn't hit a lottery, guys. Like, just to be clear, he didn't play the numbers and it came up. He put in, first of all, you are born genetically gifted in certain ways, right? Like, I know I have athlete friends. Their kids are born with muscles. It's unbelievable. Like, how'd that baby get a six-pack, right? But then you have to take that. Lots of people are like that. Then you have to take that and spend a lifetime dedicating countless
Absolutely.
Hours to honing the craft. But by the time you get the payday, it not a lottery ticket. It was hard earned. Yes, you're lucky to
you
have
don't get credit for
genetic
that, though,
advantages,
Max.
But
no,
the work you,
you
have to put in is absurd.
You don't get credit for that. You don't get credit for waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning and running and lifting all them damn weights and doing all that, because the only thing that people see is the fact that you make your money. And that's really all that matters. All the other hard work that's put in that they don't see. They only see you on ESPN, on TNT. That's the only thing they see. NBA TV, you know, the NFL Network, ESPN, NBC, Monday Night Football. They don't understand there's a whole layer of stuff that goes on for you to even get to the payday. They just don't see it. So the first thing that they try and compare it to is their everyday life and what they do to earn their money.
I was always amazed at how much harder student athletes worked in college than everybody else. I don't care how good a deal they had, and they could skip classes and this and that. They had a workload in school, and they were getting up at 4 in the morning, and they're working all – like, student – they work incredibly
Max,
hard.
Say, I am not a Kyrie Irving apologist, okay? Like, I've been on TV before. I've criticized certain things that he's done. You can look at the record of it. Like, even with the repost, I was like, I don't think the way he handled it at first would have been the way I would have handled it. I just don't like the fact that when business gets in the way of something that we know is bound to be inevitable, like, he turns into public enemy number one. Like, everybody who has no idea about any of these nuances chimes in because of all the way these stories have been framed about him not liking to be there.
On the other hand, that's all true. I agree with everything you guys are saying. On the other hand, if you're running a business, if you're running a team,
you have every right.
And the question comes up, do you extend Kyrie Irving? We cannot sit here and pretend that's not a difficult question to answer. Even if you say yes, because it's like, but damn, once he gets the contract, what's the next thing going to what's the next reason going to be he's not going to show up? That's a real thing.
But it doesn't matter if you extend him or not, though, Max. At the same time, he is human. And if he feels a certain way about what's going on in our country and he decides he wants to take some time, it is what it is.
That,
I mean, that's just the reality.
No one's arguing that, but if you're the owner of a team, what do you do?
But that's the reality of it. I have to make that decision as an owner. I made the decision to put in front of him a bamboozle contract when Bobby Marks, who was a general manager of this league, said there's only about five players out of all the players that have something similar in their contracts. But not even at the level.
Like Kyrie. No.
Not even at the level as Kyrie. But you're going to put a bogus contract in front of the man and expect for him not to say, you know what, man, let me out of here.
I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying let's acknowledge, as just as a show, we're just talking.
It's really hard.
You can defend his character on one hand and then also say these attacks on his character are unfounded. And then also at the same time admit, if you're running a team, it's not an easy choice. His talent is transcendent. And he can certainly help a team win a championship.
But you knew
and on
that
the other hand, I'm not
in.
Talking about them. I'm talking about the reality of us sitting here talking about how difficult he makes the decision to give him what would otherwise be a no-brainer contract. Of course you give a dude like that a max deal. But we have to admit, with him, you got to pause. You got to pause like, I don't – what do we do here? That's a legitimate thing for people to talk about out loud.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it is legitimate, though, Max. There's no question about it. But I also got to form my opinion based on what my knowledge is and what I know about the individual, because I'm trading for him or I'm bringing him in free agency. I can't base my decision making on outside thoughts and narratives that's been formed by people that are in the media or people that have other agendas. You can't do that.
And Max, and that was
and the only reason why, let me tell you something, Max and Jay, and the only reason why I don't even know Kyrie, seen him one time in my life. And the only reason why I feel this way, because I had it happen to me, and I know how it goes when people
say,
do that.
Okay, wait, hold it right there. I want to hear about this. When you say it, I had it happen to me, what's happening to Kyrie, I want to know what the it is. Coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The divorce papers have been filed. Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving. For all the drama he causes, he is an incredible player.
I think that the Mavs have put themselves in a position to be potentially the front runner in the Western Conference.
When you get into business with Kyrie, you also have to accept that at some point, things are going to break down.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Key, we've been talking Kyrie all morning. You said something I'm interested in hearing more about, that the reason you're so sensitive to what Kyrie is going through, as people can accuse you of being, a Kyrie apologist, is you went through the same thing. What did you mean?
I just know how when you are a professional athlete and you don't conform to what people think you should conform to, whichever the rules are in place, and you decide you're going to do it the way you want to do it and how you want to do it, they make you out to be the villain. I went through it my career. I went through it in New York for a short period of time until Bill Parcells came in and said, no, y'all got it all wrong. But they still was trying to force it. I get traded to Tampa Bay based on finances and the Jets not wanting to pay me. I go down to Tampa Bay. I help win a Super Bowl, but then all of a sudden, it sours because a coach got a different agenda, and it became, CCCC. It's like, well, wait a minute, man. Y'all only listening to what they telling you and not what it really truly is. You want it to be a certain way, and not that's not the
especially
way it is.
Especially if it's a young black player challenging a power structure. They are more.
Oh, absolutely.
People are much more less likely to give the player the benefit of the doubt to make certain assumptions, right?
And it's ridiculous that it happens that way. And you point to everywhere he goes, there's always something that happens, or whatever the case may be. So what? He doesn't want to be in Brooklyn because they gave him a bogus contract. He didn't want to be in Cleveland. He changed his mind in Boston, originally saying I would do a deal. Then they're saying, you know what? I don't want to. He's not entitled to change his mind. Coaches change their minds all the time and leave from team to team to team, or step down and take another job when they look up and they see, oh, I don't have the roster I want, so let me step down and go into TV for a year and then come back and coach so I can get a better roster.
But real talk, as the kids say, he's not there half the time. Like, professionally, you can have that opinion about Kyrie without making it so apparently personal, without demonizing him to the extent that he has been demonized, including with the Hebrews to Negroes thing, which I spent about a day talking about and then was like, okay. Then Kyrie came out, said what his intentions were. Clearly, he's not of ill will. He just, was making a pro-black point, and there was some collateral damage. I mean, I'm Jewish. I didn't like that either. But there's a big difference between that and someone like Kanye who comes out, says what he said. Oh, wait a minute. That ain't Kyrie. Let's stop wasting our breath on a guy who basically means well.
Last point real quick. So this is because when you hear these kind of things, like people – saying things to his camp, like, we'll never buy his shoes again. He's anti-Semitic. We'll never do that. We're never supporting you. I'm like, are those same people buying products off of Amazon? Because I never heard that energy kind of transfer to Jeff Bezos being anti-Semitic. I never heard that conversation get to that threshold volume-wise. It never even happened, right? Because they're still selling the movie. They're still selling the movie.
Jay,
so, like,
is...
it just, when you start unpacking things and things start being labeled a certain way and people don't do their homework, then all of a sudden that narrative just follows people.
Yes.
When you don't do the homework,
the narrative will follow. You got to do the homework.
In other words, you got to treat people as individuals, look into the details of what they're about, and not overly generalize. Jay, I want to get into what you just said. I think it's important. When the whole thing with Kyrie came out, you said, as part of when we were discussing it, and what about Amazon? They sell the book. And I said at the time, wait a minute. Let's not use that. It might be a legitimate point. But right now we're talking about Kyrie, and I found that to be diversionary. Hey, let's not talk about Kyrie. Let's talk about this other thing. But we talked about Kyrie, and Kyrie had his feet held to the fire. He answered for everything. Now we have moved past that, I hope. Now it's a legitimate question to ask because they continue to sell the thing that Kyrie promoted.
It's a legitimate question, and part of your concern. It's always been a legitimate question. It was just a matter of, it being
of timing.
But
can I say something real quick, Jay? Part of your concern at the time, I remember you saying, yes, but it seems like we never deal with the Amazon of it all, the distributor. We always deal essentially with the black athlete. Now it's legitimate to say, Max, this is what I mean. We've never moved past that on to the next thing.
And it disappears.
It disappears.
It's no longer even a topic.
Amazon released a statement, we're going to continue to sell it and blah, blah, blah. And no one said anything, and it's not yesterday's news.
So that's true. That's the thing. So, like, I'm like, okay, I unpack that. And still nobody could really dig into the details to tell me what was truly anti-Semitic about it.
Well, like, I can, but go ahead.
That's fine. Well, 90% of people that had issues with it never watched it. I've seen that. I could tell people that didn't watch it.
No, I didn't watch it. So that's one thing.
So then you unpack, I'm like, all right, police brutality. Like, that's a very – Key and I talked about not coming into work around George Floyd. Like, that's a real thing. The pandemic. So it's not like it's like, oh, yeah, I'm waking up on Tuesday. I don't feel like going to work today. I'm not going to go to work. It's all real life challenges and issues that are going on. Like, I'm not absolving Kyrie Irving of responsibility.
Absolutely,
communication is important.
No.
But it's like, man, I have a problem when stuff gets framed that way.
No, nobody is an apologist for Kyrie. Like I said before, I don't know Kyrie Irving. Okay? I just know how people frame things, Max.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
And the assumptions that are made. Yeah.
It's the wildest thing. It ain't even necessarily black or white. Obviously more to do with the black athlete than the white athlete. There's no question about it. But I don't look at it that way. I just look at it as people get it wrong because they're not doing their research. They're not diving into it. They don't understand it.
It's much easier for the human brain to make big generalizations because we're bombarded with information. We're inclined to generalize.
Well, if Jay doesn't mention to me it was a three-year deal on the back end, the last year was bogus, I'd have been like, why did he turn the deal down? What the hell's wrong with him? Da-da-da-da-da. But once I got that information through Jay, I'm like, well, hell yeah, he's going to turn it down. Why would he take that deal?
Look, I mean.
Last word, Jay.
Last word is that.
Last word, Jay. Sounds like a show.
Oh, no, wait. We have another minute. I'm still on the old clock.
Now with the Brooklyn Nets, it's about what does Kevin Durant want to move forward? Deshaun Marks put the best personnel around him right now to win a championship. Because if not, I believe you're going to have a different conversation when the summer comes around about where KD ends up. Can Kyrie and Luka find a way to make it work within a 3-4 month span? Because even if they do, I believe that Kyrie is going to be a Laker next year when it's all said and done.
Key Lakers don't even have to give up anything for him except the cash.
And Russell Westbrook comes off the
books. You see this right here. What that say? L.A.
Kyrie, AD, LeBron. They got Hachimura. They'll be able to.
Oh, he just bought a house in Malibu.
Oh. No, Venice Beach. Venice Beach, the canals. That's more. Yeah. It's the earthing.
Very.
Plus, what's the next cause Kyrie is going to not show up for work for? Hey, am I right?
Jay?
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
The incense. This house is clear.
I can see the forest from here.
What do they call that when they do? It's called
the incense.
Sage.
Yeah. Got to sage stuff, man.
First kale smoothie on me, Kyrie. First kale smoothie on me.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.